people who love them.
Hello, this is Mickey. I'm your host for this episode of The Thing About Cars. Today, around the table, we have Don. Are you there?
Good morning.
Ben, are you there?
I'm here.
How about Becca? Becca, say hello.
Hello.
And Balint, welcome. How are you?
Hi, everyone. Thank you. I'm fine.
So let's start with Balint. Balint is a friend of ours from Hungary. What's the name of the city again, Balint?
It's called Kisztarcsa.
Yes, and it's just outside of Budapest, you say?
Yeah, that's correct.
You do a very particular podcast. Can you introduce us to both of your podcasts?
I do. I run a couple of podcasts. One is about Toyota Priuses, and one is about a podcast with Tesla owners. Now, the Prius podcast is mainly started off with our own Prius experience within the family, how we got from one Prius, the story on that, and how we got to four Priuses in the family, and the story on that, and chatting with different owners and talking Prius or Prii, and all the little tips and tricks of how to diagnose it, what to look out for when one is in the market for one, and just stories, sharing stories. And the Tesla one is also mainly about storytelling, speaking with Tesla owners about their life stories, how they got to the point, for example, to being able to afford a Tesla, and what's their opinion on the company, on the industry and competition.
Right. And so the Prius podcast is simply called the Prius podcast?
Yes.
And what's the Tesla podcast called?
It's called Tesla Tales.
Tesla Tales. Interesting. So what draws you to electric vehicles, or at least hybrid electric vehicles?
The hybrid electric vehicles were mainly out of curiosity. Before that, we only owned ICE vehicles, but I was like looking forward to drive something else. And then it came to the moment to buy our first car. I heard great things about the Priuses, but didn't. No one in the family had one earlier, so I had to try it out, and it was a good call back. 2.5 years ago.
Oh, okay. So you guys bought four Priuses in less than a year?
Wow.
In about a year and a half.
That's.
Did Toyota send you a thank you note?
No, I tried to get in contact with them to have, for example, a developer or an engineer from their side on the show to talk about their technology and hydrogen. But I'm still on the... on their part for getting back to me, but it would be nice to have someone from the
right?
Wow! Yeah. And Balint, how many people do you have listening in?
I have on average, on a monthly average, I have 800-ish people tuning into the show.
And how many countries?
Over 60.
Wow!
It's amazing. It's just amazing. So, Balint, when you did the research for Priuses, what were you looking for? Have you found the research to be true? Are they reliable vehicles? Does driving a hybrid present more or fewer problems than driving around an internal combustion engine?
When I was started to research before we bought our first Prius, the problem with journalists is that they usually test cars when they are brand new. And I see a big issue in that, because if someone, for example, doesn't have a budget for a brand new car or brand new Prius like we had, and we, of course, how do we going to find out the information, like what to check for on a 10-year-old Prius, for example? And then a really good forum to check on these things is actually Prius specific or manufacturer specific independent forums. Mm. Either this could be on Reddit, this could be on Facebook, this could be there is a site, also a big site, a big forum called PriusChat.com, and these sites are specifically on the Prius and their sub forums, and that's a good, really good starting point to check for and ask for information.
Oh, definitely. For any car, really.
I
think every car pretty much has some sort of following. And the chat rooms are definitely a great place to start, because, you know, especially if you're new to a car, people on there have been there, done that. They've been driving their cars for a while. So definitely it's the best source.
Sometimes I've found a downside, which is that if a car has any potential at all to be modified for high performance, that's the only thing anybody in forums will talk about. Like I've got a Mazda 3, and if you go to the Mazda 3 forum, it's all like racer wannabe fanboys, you know, wanting to get more zoom zoom out of their cars.
Yeah, I got your zoom zoom. No, come on. I mean, considering the cars that I've got, sometimes you have to fish around. You have to weed out the boys that want to do nothing but race. And yeah, I mean, you're right, but there are some serious enthusiasts.
Yeah.
You either pinpoint them on the chat or find an all serious chat. Some chats actually will say, we don't allow that here. We're talking about all the racing and, you know, serious modifications. Yeah, we'll talk about it, but from a technology or engineering point of view, not the crazy, let's go out and street race or whatever kind of point of view. So anyway.
Yeah, but I think Ben's right. For the smaller cars, it's like the forums are filled with people who are clearly trying to soup them up. And it's difficult to find people who just want to keep their car stock and running stock.
That said, I have an anecdote about a Prius forum. I forget which one, but my brother is a serial Prius owner. He loves them. He loves them enough that he bought a second one after a falling tree crushed his first one. And he found a modification in one of the forums to make his 12-volt socket be on all the time instead of just when the car is on. Somebody in there had traced everything down and figured out what wires you could tap into for that socket without messing up any computers or anything in the hybrid drive or anything like that. And being not very mechanically inclined, he asked me to actually do the work for him. So I've probed around in the wiring of a Prius once.
Too funny.
I'm trying to get my mind around zoom zooming in a Prius. Of course, but the Autobahns and the fast roads there you have in Europe, how fast can you go?
Locally or in general, there are the most highways have about, let me check the exact figure in mph, it's about 130 kilometers per hour. But I'm just going to check in 1 second.
That's about 80 miles an hour.
Yeah,
about 80 miles an hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you drive that as well, no? With the rule of 65, the officially, but you generally use like 70, 80.
But I can't help but think that if you're driving a Prius that fast, you probably bought the car for the wrong reason, right? I mean,
let me pull up a calculator and just make this easy on the fuel consumption. Because if, for example, we usually make trips every month or so to 200 kilometers away, that's about 120 miles away. And with this going 80 miles an hour on a highway, usually with AC on, for example, in the summer, the MPG we get is about 47. And that is, if we would have used a similar capacity or 1.8 liter or 1.5 liter or even a 2 liter petrol engine, solely a petrol engine, those would get for sure about 30, 35 at that speed. And for diesel engine cars, they wouldn't get better than that.
Mm-hmm.
And even though the speed is high, considerably that it's a hybrid car, it's still actually a really highway-friendly car, even though it was not made for the highway.
And Balint, how's the recharging stations in Europe?
It's they definitely got some room to improve compared to the US, but they are getting there. The Central and Eastern Europe is well behind on the Western compared to the Western part, but at least they are working on it.
Let's break for a minute and do a quick moment of Grand Trivia Auto. So stop me if I've done this one before.
Wait, stop.
Okay.
Oh no.
What interstate passes through the most states?
I think we did this one.
Yeah, right. We did, but it was fascinating to a discussion.
The question is simply, what interstate passes through the most states? The choices are I-90, Interstate 40, Interstate 75, and Interstate 95. As we get back deeper into this.
I feel like we need a dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Well, let's just continue with the episode. What else is on our to-do list today? Balint, what's the most important thing you'd like people to know about Priuses and about Teslas in general? What are some of your major discoveries?
Regarding the Priuses, a few questions that usually comes up on the same topic, that which Prius to buy. Mm-hmm. And there is a quite controversial part, but in my opinion, based on my chats with other owners and personal experiences and with chats with mechanics, it's safe to say that any Prius made from 2010 to 2012-13, that is mainly the Gen 3 Prius, with the normal nickel metal batteries that last usually 10 years, but it's also really dependent on how we use the cars. But those are slightly less reliable than the previous generation, the generation 2 that was made from 2004 to 2009. Basically, the Gen 3 problems came with the new EGR system introduced into the car to meet better emission criteria. But that didn't make the car itself really reliable. And there are issues with the EGR system of it. And their inverter is slightly less reliable. The Gen 2 Prius inverter is really solid and strong. Even people, I saw multiple images from anyone in the US use the Gen 2 Prius to haul jet skis and bikes and etc. That is completely is not recommended at all. But some people who use the Gen 3 for touring might, again, not recommend it, but they give up much, much faster. But if someone would have the budget, they might reach to a Gen 4. That would be, of course, the safest bet. But in generally, when it comes to Priuses and they have the budget, for example, $5,000-$10,000, try to find one with that was equipped with lithium-ion batteries. They are much more reliable than nickel metal, and you would find these batteries in Priuses that were the Prime in the US, that is the plug-in version. In Europe, it's just called Prius plug-in, and you can find that battery as well in the Prius V, that is the slightly bigger version of the Prius, that's in Europe called Prius Plus. So those are two good vehicles.
That was going to be one of my questions. If anybody is either discussing on your podcast or on forums ways to improve the models that do have the faults that you were talking about. So yeah, like replacing the batteries on the earlier gens. Okay, very good. That pretty much answered my question, at least partly.
There's sometimes it pops up, but if it's possible to convert a nickel metal based hybrid Prius to a lithium ion based one, but I didn't see anything yet. Such a solution.
There's always a way. Everything can be changed. You just got to dig, or somebody's got to be brave enough to jump in and do it, and trial and error.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Oh yeah.
So go ahead, Becca.
No, I was just going to say, is it ironic, though, that an efficient car is having problems with the EGR system? It's supposed to be a part of the efficiency and...
Well, I'm not sure, because this carbon clear, the carbon buildups are really like the...
I'm trying to be silly. I'm sorry. It's just
my bad.
The EGR is supposed to make cars more environmentally friendly and more efficient and everything. And the Prius is having an issue with the EGR. I was being silly. I'm sorry.
Right. Well, the silly things about Prius, and is the plural Prii. But that wasn't what I was going to say. I've noticed that the people who drive them, at least in the United States, you never, ever see them at gas stations, and I know their cars require some gasoline. So I'm thinking that because they're so smug about their electric thing, they only fill them up at 3 a.m. or something.
Most likely.
Well, if they have an EGR, they have to take fuel.
Well, or, yeah. Or maybe you just don't see them at gas stations because they don't visit gas stations that frequently.
Well, yeah, but you'd think you'd see them sooner or later.
Yeah.
At least somewhat, because they don't run electric all the time.
Right, right.
Right.
And you know, this interesting thing about the cars is, again, when you stop at a intersection or a light or what have you, there's no sound. And it's so disturbing to me. I'm curious, Balint, what you think about that, because we in America love our engines. We love our combustion. We love the feel of the engine. And just to have the car go silent is very, to me, disconcerting.
It's disturbing.
It's so I'm not like an extremist who is like really pro-environmental. And we are aware, and we try to live really smart when it comes to pollution and things like that. But when we bought our first Prius, it was not driven by the fact that, for example, we are tree huggers, for example. So it's got nothing to do with that. It just has to do with cost and reliability. And we would wanted something to that cost us really a reasonable amount of money, but in exchange gives a lot of benefits. For example, MPG, reliable, automatic gearbox, AC, practical size, etc. Mm-hmm. But I also love good engine noises. But again, you will have to have the budget for it. And in Europe, the V8 Muscle or the any AMG Mercs that are really, really, I enjoy to I haven't driven one, but I love their sound. But if I would have the budget, like 2 times the budget to buy one and maintain one, I would probably have one. But with cars going soundless or losing that enjoyable part of the driving experience, it also gives you a different type of satisfaction when driving the car. For example, when we are sitting in a traffic jam or anything during our commute, it just creates a zen environment. And it makes it, what I found on myself, that before I was driving an ICE to work, I always wanted to get there quick because I didn't want to, for example, shift too many times. I didn't want to just listen to the engine in the traffic jam, going and stopping. And the whole experience was not stressful, but not really relaxing. And with the Prius, with going silently in traffic jams for some time until the battery lasts, then it's a completely different experience. It's like a tram-like satisfaction that there is no vibrations. You just go and you can roll down your windows and there are the birds singing. But all the other cars are just like emitting meanwhile.
Well, the engine noise to me is part of the zen. It's my white noise generator. It's
Becca's blood type is unleaded.
Yes.
Actually, I say that my blood type is royal purple because that's the oil that I like to run.
Well,
so I go for oil in that.
Yeah. If you want all that engine noise but can't afford it, I'm looking at something online right now that could be just the thing.
Wait, are you going to suggest playing something?
Don't steal his thunder.
It was on my list of thunder here that I was going to say.
Well,
all right, Thundercat, what you got?
There is a phone app you can get called RevHeads with a Z, and if you combine that with an OBD interface with Bluetooth, your phone then can then use the RPM of your car to sound like anything from a 100cc chainsaw to a 6-liter Italian V12 to an Audi R8 GT3, Chevy V8. It's got like a list of 20-some vehicles or engines I think you can sound like.
Are you serious?
That's super awesome.
Awesome. That's better than what I was going to say. I was just going to say play the noise or the engine noise through your radio. that sounds even better. What was it called again?
Revheads, R-E-V-H-E-A-D-Z.
That is hysterical.
And if you got a nice set of Bose subwoofers in there, you can really get the... Wow. That's fabulous.
That's amazing.
And then you're standing, you're like idling next to somebody. Can you imagine a Prius? You're running that noise through your stereo.
Not knowing the fact wouldn't make it like last the feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it would just be fun. It would just be a moment of fun. Yeah. We just got our 10-minute warning. So let's wrap up this trivia question. The question is, what United States interstate passes through the most states? Is it Interstate 90, Interstate 40? Is it I-75 or is it I-95? You guys want to take guesses?
I think we were all on the same boat last time.
I can't remember.
With I-95.
I think so. Yes. Does anyone else want to say something other than I-95? Balint, of course, doesn't live here, so he won't have the geography in his mind.
Wait, somebody yell out, Georgia 400.
Only when traffic.
So you're right. The answer actually is I-95. It's not any of the east to west ones. It's simply because we have so many smaller states here on the eastern coast. The answer says with a length of 1,908 miles, that's 3,071 kilometers. I-95 is the longest north and south interstate with the sixth longest interstate highway overall. I-95 passes through more states than any other interstate highways at 15 states, as well as a very brief stretch in the District of Columbia while crossing the Potomac River. So I-95, goes through the most state borders. And I've never actually been through maybe like more than three of those states on I-95.
Really? My goodness. We have literally taken a road trip and it's amazing because that passes through all 13 colonies, Florida, and I'm trying to determine what the 15th state is. It must be Maine.
It must be.
Well, and when you're on it, you know, you're surrounded by crappy drivers from New Jersey and crappy drivers from Florida, no matter which state you're in. So
it is. It's Maine, because Maine was not one of the original colonies. So
that's right. That's right.
They're all the way up to, it heads, it even crosses over into Canada.
Wow. Okay. So I've been all up and down the eastern coast, but on I-95, just in Florida, only in Georgia, Florida, maybe one or two of the Carolinas. If I ever have to go farther north than that, I've always just gone up 75 or 85.
Well, when we were kids, I'm an Army brat, and my parents, we had RVs my whole life. And so wherever we were stationed, we would just take road trips. Mm-hmm. And I remember going from Pennsylvania all the way to Florida on 95.
Doesn't 85 end in Virginia?
I think that's correct, yes.
And then you have to pick up 95 if you're going further up, I believe. It's been a while since I've driven all the way up to New York or New Jersey, but
right.
I believe that's the course that we would take.
Yes. Yes, so. It is. But it's a interesting road because at some points it's just, you're like, are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Yeah.
Just right. Not to see.
Yeah.
No. I have two kids to say that. No. Drive 5 minutes down the road. Are we there yet? Oh my God, no.
Yeah.
Right.
Whereas on the complete opposite west side of the country, we have the beautiful scenic highway. And we've actually driven that from Monterey all the way to Newport in a convertible Mustang.
So we have roughly 5 minutes left, and I'm going to ask, what do you think the difference is between an eastern highway that doesn't have the scenery versus a western highway that does? Is it simply because the countryside is more beautiful on the western coast of the United States, or is it that they actually had some sense of some planning and aesthetics in place when they built those interstates?
Yeah, I think the latter, because the western ones mostly came later and the eastern ones are largely utilitarian.
Mm. That is true, but there's also, you've got the fact that that area of the west coast is mountainous. It's the baby new mountains
of
San Andreas Fault. and you've got our older Appalachians, which are just, if you come in a bit, they're beautiful going through the Blue Ridge Parkway.
Oh, yeah, I was going to mention Blue Ridge Parkway and then up all the roads that make up Tale of the Dragon and all that. But there's also a coastal route, and I don't remember the roads, going up the East Coast if you want to take a scenic route instead of 95. No, we've got beautiful roads here too. Don't totally dismiss us.
No, we do. My only point was that the major interstates in the East were run through an older, more established part of the country, so there was less choice in how to build them. They had to get the job done. They had to move the people efficiently, so they put them where they could.
Right. Balint, have you been to the U.S. at all?
Been to New York. Mm-hmm. And that was it.
Excellent.
About 2 years ago.
Well, please let us know if you make it this way again. We'd love to show you around.
For sure.
Definitely. Sure. There's so much more over here.
I hope I get to visit your part of the world someday. I've never visited Hungary before. That would be a nice trip.
Yeah.
Reach out anytime.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And that's about all we have time for today. Any last things that we should cover in the next 3 minutes?
Oh, well, actually, I pulled it up. There's also a Rev Heads for Motorcycles. I'm sure you probably already saw that, Ben, but I wanted to make
not,
mention.
But, thanks, yeah.
I pulled it up, and I was like, why are there two? And if you look at the little icons, there's one for motorcycle, and there's one for cars. And going way back to the earlier with the engine sounds, I have a friend that has a Tesla. And yes, it's very quick and all the adjectives there, but it is rather disturbing that there is no noise coming from it. You know, I expect it with how fast it's going sometimes, but
to me it seems like the Tesla's like we're finally getting into the George Jetson era. It's sleek, it's sexy, it's
George Jetson's car made noise.
Hold on.
If you remember, it had that little like bubbly rocket noise.
Wait. Say that again, Don.
It's sleek, it's sexy, it's silent.
Silent, yeah. And then Becca's point is true. It did make that little percolating.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm going to say this, just silent is not sexy, and I'm just going to leave it there with no explanation.
Balint, thank you for joining us all the way from Hungary. We really appreciate having you here on the podcast.
Definitely.
I hope we get to do this again sometime.
It's been fun hanging out with you guys. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us. This is The Thing About Cars. As always, we really value your support via our Patreon. Just go to patreon.com and search for The Thing About Cars. And always looking for your feedback and questions and suggestions for guests via our website. That is thethingaboutcars.com. And in the meantime, we hope you're all staying safe out there. We'll see you on the road. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
About cars. We'll see you on the road.